This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Quinn, can you hear me?
What?
I'm watching.
What is it?
I just rewatched your video that you sent me.
Oh my God. Tell everyone what the video's of. I mean.
So it's Quinn giving me a tour of my own house, a.k.a. our home. It's a tour of my kitchen. Sorry, it's Quinn's kitchen. And really moving the mic about. And Quinn's like, I asked Matt to put the Lambrusco in the fridge. Now, when I first watched it and I didn't have the sound on, I thought, we're going to see another empty canister. We're about to see another empty jar in the fridge. But
I bet you thought that.
I did. But a surprise twist ending where you just see some, like, Lambrusco evidence
red
of
goo.
Red goo. I don't know what that is. So I was like, oh, maybe the Lambrusco is there and I don't know what happened. And then you said, oh, Matt decided to put it in the freezer. Now, if anyone out there is married to a man who experiences ADHD, I think you're going to know what's going to happen next. The freezer is opened, and boy, oh boy, is it Lambrusco slushy all over that damn freezer.
With Lambrusco broken, city, baby.
With glass. Walking on broken glass by the one and only freaking Annie Lennox. I want to be the one to tell you. I almost texted you, but I didn't. Let's introduce the show first.
Oh.
Okay, we're back. Wait, Quinn.
Hilaria?
Quinn!
Is it going to be about Hilaria?
No. I desperately wanted
you think,
to be the one.
You think I'm not up to date on everything Hilaria's doing?
Quinn.
Actually, I'm not up to date in the sense that...
Quinn, did you see the video? I haven't seen the video yet.
The video, but I didn't watch it.
Should
but
you
I
watch
knew
it right
as soon
now?
As I saw it.
Can we
I
put
mean,
it on?
Let me just see. Yeah, sure. Let's just see what she says. I mean.
Hi, I'm Alec Baldwin.
And I'm Hilaria Baldwin. And we have an announcement. Let me start again. Hi, I'm Hilaria Baldwin.
And I'm Alec Baldwin.
And we have an announcement to make.
Good God, no.
No, definitely not. We're done having kids.
Bye. Sit down.
Oh. This is about our show.
We're inviting you into our home to experience the ups and downs, the good, the bad, the wild, and the crazy.
I can't hear anything. Okay, Quinn.
It might be too annoying for me to watch, which is crazy because I'm a huge fan.
Which is, again, so if you don't know, the big news is Hilaria and the Baldwinitos are joining TLC for a reality show. And here's the thing. For many Bravo lovers, me... Many of us were hoping...
Huge letdown.
It's a huge letdown, isn't
Frankly,
it?
Frankly, I thought she was going to become a housewife, and that was what I wanted.
That's
I
what
wanted
we wanted.
I wanted her as a housewife.
Yeah, I don't
because
know if I need her
they're
going
to have their... And here's the truth. They're going to have their hand in it in this really aggressive way where they're going to be like, show us doing this, show us doing this. And I feel like when it's Bravo,
yeah.
I feel like when it's The Real Housewives...
They have less
You don't
control.
Get to pick, and they are like...
Yeah, yeah,
you didn't
right.
want to. You didn't want us to show Alec yelling at you, but we're showing it.
That's
you didn't
want to
show how you
I
like,
wonder if they, like
how you slipped into your accidental Spanish accent, but
how you
we're
say
showing
cucumber?
It. Like
I'm dying. I'm also like I don't know if I will be watching. I will be consuming it in the same way that I consume social media reality shows. There are some shows that on social media,
but not. But I will the not same be way you consume in. Tortillas, right? Like a different
correct. Way. It's like a different way where I'll eat the whole tortilla. This is I'm tortilla. Having a bite, a tortilla. I'm gonna have like different bites. I'm gonna have just like a little sliver. And you know, it is an interesting time in their lives because he's about to be on trial for man's laughter.
Yeah.
And
it's fucking a PR stunt.
It's really crazy. And it's also like bizarre. I think it's a way to spin the story. But you know, I was talking to some friends about it, about the Alec Rust shooting of it all, this like horrible tragic accident. And as an actor, I know if somebody handed me a gun and said, "This is safe to shoot, your job is to shoot it," I think I would.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't have guns in movies anymore. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe we should like chill out. Also, it's not as like interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just my
it's
two
too
cents.
Easy.
It's too
Think
easy.
Think of a cooler way to do the scene. I agree.
It's lazy. It's just lazy writing. But
where's the creativity?
So in case you're curious of where I'm calling you from, I have a couple updates from the week. I am calling you from Leicester, England. And here's what's really cool about Leicester, England. Leicester, England is that place. I think I covered it a while ago, or I mentioned it. Is there's a car park here that they were digging up to, I don't know, fill in with concrete and make a car park. But they were digging it up, I don't know how long ago, and they found the bones of King Richard III. And so there's like a whole museum dedicated to King Richard III here in Leicester. But
everyone's favorite hunchback.
I mean, jury's still out. Since they now have the bones, there's actually like, again,
well, they have bones. Can they tell us?
Well, they think you might have had like mild positive, scoliosis. Negative? But I think there was just like more of like a propaganda smear campaign against the guy. Like, I think actually, like,
because of scoliosis.
Well, because there were two people that had stronger claims to the throne. And so, like, they kind of made him out to be something else. I don't know. I haven't done the research on it.
A murderer.
Yeah. But here's what I do want to say. I got an email. So I don't know if I told you. I went to the U.S. Embassy. Did I tell you about this?
Mm-mm.
Did I tell you? Did I not tell? Okay. One of the cool things was when I was in London, this woman came to the show and she was like, "Oh my God, I randomly like saw your show." She had an American accent. She's like, "I ran into your show, or I found your show on TKTS. I came in, loved it, had such a great time. I work for the U.S. Embassy here in London, and we're inviting you to the embassy." So KK and I got to go to the embassy, and they took our phones from us. We got like a full tour. It was amazing. And she was so nice. She bought us lunch. It was so fun. And so we, you know, sent her our flyer for the other June dates because she was like, "Tell me, I'll spread it to my network." And then she reached out to us yesterday and was like, "Hey, so I got you guys an invite to the U.S. Embassy Independence Day party here in London, and it's not on July 4th, and you actually, it's on your night off, and you can go." And she's like, "It's great that I got you an invite, because we're actually really overextended, because everybody thinks the special music guest is Taylor Swift." It's not Taylor Swift.
But it's not.
But I think we're going to go. It's like 1,000
people. But it's that kind of party.
Yes. I think there's going to be like a special musical guest. And so I think, like, so I'm going to go get,
well,
like,
obviously,
drunk.
People are expecting Taylor Swift. They better at least deliver, like, a fucking...
But the question is who's
Ashley
it going to be?
Simpson.
Who's the... Oh, I would still love. Are you kidding? I'd be like, "Bring Diana Ross, your mother-in-law. Come on out."
Oh, my God.
I would live for... If Ashley Simpson sang to me, that's fucking thrilling, Quinn. That's absolutely thrilling. So all I'm saying is June 24th, I'm going to be... I have to get an outfit. You know what I mean? I have to get a new outfit because I'm going to the embassy. It's like 1,000 people.
Just got to.
I'm going to just like rub shoulders with the State Department, the high muckety mucks. Maybe this podcast will come out before that and I get all my privileges revoked. But isn't that cool?
They're like, "We found you. We figured out who you are."
Do you want me to ask if they know who killed JonBenet?
You're not
invited.
Who do
I got to ask at that State Department? I'll be like, wait. Do I ask about aliens or JonBenet? Who do I ask?
I picture like some weird guy in the corner just slowly raising his hand.
Wait, but if you were with the State Department, if you like,
we'll see
if you
goes.
Had a party where you had unlimited booze and food, okay, and you're in this like gorgeous ambassador's home in London that apparently was like owned by some rich fucker, and has like huge grounds, mm-hmm. what would you do? What would you wear?
A jumpsuit, obviously.
Okay. Now your turn. Tell me how your week's been.
Look, you gotta think about who you're talking to. How was my week? My week was good. We were really busy. We had like a lot of birthday parties. We had a 3-year-old. We had a 7-year-old. We had a 42-year-old. It was a lot of birthday action.
Fun.
It was really funny. We had Jamila's birthday in the yard on Saturday, and we played a celebrity, and we had a fire, and it was so much fun that we ate all the appetizers, and we didn't cook our main course, which was steamer clams and bratwurst. And we were like,
oh, that sounds
lovely. Man, we had so much fun, but now we're too full. So we were like, you guys, should we do this whole thing again tomorrow night and eat the food we didn't eat? And everybody was like, yeah, I can do that. But like, we had so much fun Saturday. We were like laughing and we stayed up late. It was great. Sunday, everyone came back and we were all hungover. We were all in a bad mood for different reasons. And we all just like stared at each other and tried to eat dinner together. And nobody liked the steamers. And it was like it was like this quiet undercurrent of like, at one point, Spencer did look around the table and he goes, we shouldn't have done this. It was that vibe that somebody was like, we shouldn't have done this.
You know what that is? That is like proof. That is like definitive proof of like those moments where it's like, Mom, I want to stay longer. I want to stay longer. I want to do it again. I want to go back. And your mom's like, no, we're not. And you're like, you got to listen to your mom. It's not going to be mm-hmm. as fun the mm-hmm. second time. It's fun because it's temporary. And it's fleeting.
Totally.
And it's impermanent. Totally.
And it's fleeting, but we had a really great, fun, packed weekend. It was like too packed for my taste, like one thing to another thing, like three things in a day kind of vibes.
Too many.
And I did see the movie Babes, which I can totally wreck. The Alana Glazer movie was really, really fun.
Okay.
I sat next to a woman that was like exactly who you want to sit next to at that movie. She was like cackling and being like, no, and like yelling. And at one point she goes, oh, I ain't never having kids. I ain't never gonna do it. And I was like, amen, sister. Like,
same.
It was very, very, very funny. And she was like fanning herself to not cry when it got emotional and being like, whoo. And I was like, I just really like you. Like, I thought about trying to get her number at the end because I was like, I do want to go to every movie with you because I feel like any
That's
movie
beautiful.
You're going to be the best person to be next to.
Ugh, okay. Gotta see it. Please welcome to Truly.
Darkly.
Creepily.
I'm Quinlan Posner.
And I'm That's Carrie Ibramov. Oh, wait.
We're going to think.
Oh, I was going to say. I'll say that in our Patreon episode. That's a whole nother thing.
Okay.
Ooh, okay, is that a fun tease? Is that a fun tease for a joint Patreon? Ooh.
Yeah, it sounds super. They're like, what is she going to say, though? What's she going to say? Is she going to tell us what she ate last night for dinner? We got to join.
I'm going to tell
you. We got to join. Is she going to talk more about what clothes she's going to buy for this event? Oh, my God. We better join.
Quinn, are you reading me? God. Did you just tell me I'm boring for telling you all those things? Did you just say, did you just give me a fucking read where you were like.
No, I'm just like, no, but it wasn't. All I'm saying is it wasn't that good a ... because all you said is, okay. I'm going to say something. Never mind. I'm going to say it later.
I'm going to say it later and I'm going to give you a tease. KK and I have this really fun game that we've been playing that involves music, movie trailers. Mm-hmm. So just I'm going to play it in Patreon and see what you guys think. Okay, moving on.
Moving on. Let's thank Abby.
Abby W, it's so cool to see you too. Abby W, what are you?
We can never have enough of Abby. We like to. We got two Abbies. We got two Abbies, and that ain't too shabby. No, it ain't too shabby. We're not crabby when we're hanging with Abby.
Abby, are you a church or a person?
Okay, that was great.
Get it?
I got it. Okay, great. No, I got it.
Let me explain
totally
it. So
it.
Here in England.
No. Yes. Oh, God. But use an accent, please.
Here in England.
All right. Slow your roll, Hilaria. Let's do a thank you to Ollie.
Ole, ole, I'm having a trolley.
Oh my golly.
It's freaking ole. Ole, golly, you're such a trolley. That means you get us from A to B. Ole, ole.
Ole, ole, what a silly folly that we're doing this dumb accent. Ole, ole, oh my golly. Are you sad that we did your song like that?
But if I were to do it in a Chicago accent, I think it would sound worse, which is,
Allie,
Allie.
Allie.
You know what I mean? Like, do you
prefer
Ollie?
There's a really good Chinese restaurant called Little Ollie's in Denver.
Ooh. Oh, maybe this is,
I would highly recommend.
Wait, Quinn, did you get a letter from a teacher who listened to the pod?
Yes, I need to write him back. I told you it's been a really busy weekend. My high school humanities teacher wrote me to say that he listened to the podcast.
He listened. I'm sorry. I think he actually said he listened to one episode of the podcast. I think
he listened. Didn't I say he listened to the podcast?
I thought you said he listens to the podcast. I was like, actually, I don't know if
incorrect.
It's listened.
By accident, he one time accidentally listened to the podcast. He regretted it immediately, but it did happen. The podcast fell off the table and into his ears. He brushed it off quickly, but he still received some of the information and did write me an email, which is fun to hear because it's fun to think about high school. I had a friend, James, in high school.
You were popular in high school, so you would be happy to hear about high school.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Carrie.
I wasn't unpopular. I don't think we had a popular
group. You didn't give enough blowjob.
Hey, hear that, Mom? Aren't you proud? I hope my mom listens to that. And that's true. That's true. So, Mom, I hope you're happy. I hope you're proud of your daughter. I don't know if she did hear
and
that
I
story.
Gave
I was known
just
as
just the right amount.
I was known as the biggest prude in high school. So I gotta say, my claim to fame, safe. Secure.
Safe. Prude. Better safe than sorry.
Prude.
Well, better safe than popular in your case. So, my friend James, we had to do a video yearbook for that year. And I remember he was talking about this particular class and he told him the teacher's name is Mr. Painter. And he said, Mr. Painter, I want you to know that I'm feeling it. I'm failing it, but I'm feeling it. And I always really liked that to a teacher.
I want you to know
I'm feeling it. But I'm failing it, but I'm feeling it.
Failing it, but I'm feeling it. I love that.
Can you write back? No.
No, wait. I want to write back because here's what I want to ask. Is humanities, was that your sort of quote, history class at high school? And is he who I have to
thank
for?
We watched This Is Spinal Tap. It was teaching us how to be humans. So it was like, do you understand what it means to be a human? And we were like, no, we're in high school, so we definitely don't.
Is this why you were giving so many blowjobs? Was you just watched a Spinal Tap? You're like instead of sociology, instead of humanities and learning about what it is to be a good person, they're like, let's throw on Spinal Tap and let's see what fucking happens. Like, are you an experiment? Were they just
he was trying to make us interesting people to have at cocktail parties. That's what you really want.
You know what, Quinn?
So that's what he was trying to do.
Mission accomplished. I'm going to say it. Mission accomplished. I think you are a very interesting person to have at cocktail parties.
Oh my god, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Painter. You had a hand in that.
Hey, he's not listening. Sure he listened to one episode. He said he's done.
We have one more.
Oh,
you're right. Should we thank the last Patreon that we were gonna thank?
Yeah.
Taylee.
Hold on.
What do you mean, yeah?
Wow.
I said Taylee and you said, yeah.
Yeah, because that's an amazing
name. I've never
seen
you so excited about a name.
Well, Taylee, who the fuck are you? Bailey, that's not your name. Your name is Taylee. Do you have a cute little tail? E or no? Do you have a cool face? I bet you do, Taylee. Don't you forget it. Are you a typo or is your name Taylee? Is it Haley? Is it Bailey? Is it Kaylee?
I think their name's
Taylee.
Taylee, can I call you Tay-Tay? Taylee, can I call you Tay-Tay? Or would you rather call me Lee or do you say, hey, that's not me? Taylee, I just don't know what to call you. It doesn't roll off the tongue like I want it to.
Taylee, your name is beautiful, and I'm sorry this whole song was us asking to call you other things than your name. That's fucked. That's really fucked.
I didn't mean to give you a complex. I think we're just jealous.
I love Taylee. It sounds like it's a nickname for Taylor. Taylee.
Taylee.
Hey, Quinn.
Taylee. I'm going to say it like I have helium. Like I sound like Hilaria Baldwin. Hello. Didn't she sound like she had just done helium in that video? She's like, oh my God, let's introduce ourselves.
What I found the most uncomfortable about that video is the uncomfortable physical contact she has with her husband, where she has like her arm on him and he feels so disinterested in her to me. I don't know how you feel about that.
They can't be that disinterested. They have 1,000 children.
Yeah. Well, I think he's interested in boffing her. I mean, but like, it just does like, he feels like sometimes, like, I don't know who's being held hostage. I think both of them are holding each other equally hostage, which is why it works so well.
That's love.
Is that what I'm missing? Yeah. Is that why I see?
Go get yourself a hostage today.
I want a kidnapper and I want a hostage, and that's marriage. And you can quote Quinn on that. Let's bring in Matt. He'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. I think most people.
I'll have to take the duct tape off his face though before for him to talk.
Was that his punishment for the Lambrusco?
Oh my God! I know. I chopped off 3 of his fingers.
It sounds like everybody was a little drunk.
No, nobody was drunk when that happened. Everyone was sober when that happened. And the weirdest part is the reason that Lambrusco spent the night in the freezer is we didn't need it to be cold quickly. We didn't need that. We weren't going to open it soon. It is a total fucking mystery why he decided he wanted it cold quickly, even though we had like 2 chilled bottles of wine and we only drank 1 with a group of friends that evening. It is so fucking weird he did that. There, I got it out. I got it out.
Hey, I'm going to see you in less than a month. And I got to say, really fucking excited to see you IRL. Really excited. Let's go.
Okay. First word from our sponsors. This is a story all about how it's from the Globe and Mail archive of the medium. What? Is that just medium maybe? Travel Channel? Woof. Woof. Okay. This is interesting. So, you know who I want to talk to you about?
Tell me.
Dan Aykroyd.
Is he about to fuck a ghost?
No, I think he doesn't roll like that, but no, he likes ghosts. Let me tell you.
Dan Aykroyd is a ghost fucker, but I could be wrong.
Well, I'm going to teach you about him, and then you'll be righter than you are now. His great-grandfather was named Sam and was a spiritualist, and he reviewed all of the psychics that would come to town. So people would come to town because it was the height of spiritualism, and they would be like, we can do all these crazy things. There's all these mysteries to behold, levitation, ectoplasm. So he was actually in many ways a skeptic because he said, are these things happening? I want to believe in them, but I want to get to the bottom of it. I want to make sure that there's no funny business. There's no magic trickery. I'm a skeptic, but I'm also really interested in this. And one of the reasons he was interested in spiritualism, or Dan Aykroyd says that one of the reasons Dan Aykroyd is interested in it and thinks it's so cool that his family lineage has embraced it, is that he says spiritualism was really inclusive and was a lot about women's rights and definitely was very like tolerant. And he just thinks that it's a very hopeful ideology and that it's very positive. He said it gives you hope that there's a positive energy inside all of us that can guide us to light on the other side. And so all his ideas about it are said that way.
It's not shame-based. It's not a shame-based practice, right? It's like it feels like very accepting and open.
Yeah, and it accepts everyone, even ghosts, you know? They're sort of like, you can all be a part of this.
Vampires,
there's no one
though,
we don't want to be a part of this.
The vampire community is really pissed.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I think they probably talk to vampires sometimes. Sam was a dentist, so he definitely talked to vampires. Mm. He was always looking at people's canines. He was also a member of the Chautauqua Lilydale Society Spiritualist Movement, which was the movement that was founded right after the Fox Sisters. Remember the Fox Sisters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He kept journals that detailed all of these seances. It was like Seance Sunday at Grandpa Sam's. And his journals are from 1905 to 1933. And he records what happens in almost 100 seances. And he had a buddy, Walter, who was like his bestie, who would go into trances and would actually be the conduit for a lot of these spirits. And there were some regulars. So it was like hanging out with old friends. They'd like do their seance and they'd be like, oh, it's Mike Whalen from Ireland. He's here tonight. Oh, it's that ancient Egyptian prince, Blue Light, which is a very cool name. Definitely a lot of Native Americans that they got to chat with. And even a former member of the Chinese Ming Dynasty named Li Long, who was there very frequently.
Nice.
Very, very, a regular in the Aykroyd household. So after Sam dies, Maurice, his son, who is Dan's grandfather, mm-hmm. is like, I'm really interested in this too. I was raised in a house with a million seances. I want to make a machine that records ghost voices. And it's still way the olden days, but he and his son, Peter, are trying to make that machine. And Peter's Dan's dad. So years later, Dan is born. He's been raised in this family that is fascinated by spiritualism, definitely believes in ghosts. And he's reading the American Society for Psychical Research journals. He's reading about quantum physics and psychology. And he keeps thinking that it would be a really good thing to pair with comedy. And I think that you and I are one in the same as Dan Aykroyd, because we're like, oh, true wow. crime and the paranormal. What goes with that? I know.
Comedy.
Comedy. They were going to knock down the old farmhouse that his grandpa lived in. And then he went inside the house and was like, I feel like there's energy here and something special happened here and we should renovate it and not knock it down. He had a lot of personal experiences that he had that felt of the supernatural. He's not reading about this stuff and pairing it with comedy because he doesn't believe in it or thinks it's silly. Mm-hmm. Quite the opposite. He's just very curious about it. And he talks about how he would go see mediums, and he went and saw one in New York. And she was saying, Gene, there's somebody named Gene trying to reach you. And he was like, Gene Hackman's still alive. And she's like, it's not Gene Hackman. Weird name drop. I'm a medium. Relax. And so she's like, no, he's this Gene guy. And he's talking about water pumps. And suddenly he remembers his friend Gene that he used to work with in Quebec growing up. And they used to work on old Buicks together installing water pumps. And he's like, there are things like that. That why would like some random medium in a house in New York know yeah. that I had a friend that we did that together? He's not like on Facebook posting about it. He also talks about Chateau Marmont in some of these interviews and how he stayed there and had an out-of-body experience where he felt like he was flying around the dining room. And then the lamp started to shake and the lamp broke. And he also had a friend who was a sensitive, I think that's kind of like a medium, and went to Chateau Marmont, and John Belushi appeared to him because that's where he died. You know that?
Yeah.
And they were like besties. Wow. They were besties from Blues Brothers and stuff, and John Belushi died there. And I think he's had a lot of good friends die, which is, we've seen that with spiritualism, that sometimes when you have a lot of pals die, you're like, yeah, I love the idea that ghosts are around. And the way he talks about it is really interesting. He talks about ghosts as being next door in all these other dimensions that are next to ours, and that there's 23 dimensions that physicists talk about. And he's like, yeah, they're just like next door. They're in like the fourth or the fifth. And what's cool about ghosts is that they can loop. They can come in and out of time. They can repeat themselves in different time periods. They can be dispatched. And when he said that, I was like, or busted. they can be busted. Anyway, as I was saying, he's really positive and he keeps saying there's so much in this world that is negative, that's trying to push against us. And he says, as humans, as a species within ourselves, the effort to tip to the good and flood our lives with good must be something we never let go of. So he loves ghosts and ghost stories so much that people have often come to him to tell him ghost stories. And he ended up being the narrator of a TV show called Hotel Paranormal. And it's a 10-part documentary series with ghost stories. I haven't watched them yet. I'm going to, and I'm going to tell you about them. He's really interested in meeting these people. He's really interested in the psychological idea of, like, who are these people that ghosts will appear to, which is mm-hmm. similar to saying, like, who are these people that aliens abduct? Like, what do we see? What kind of vulnerabilities do they have? What are their stressors? Why were they able to see something that someone else wasn't? But all of the responsibility of thinking about the paranormal was passed down to him generation after generation. And so it was only natural that he would make everyone's favorite movie, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Of course. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. One of the cool things about Ghostbusters, one of the holdovers from his history, is that he read a lot and knew a lot about ectoplasm, and there were seance logs from his great-grandfather where they saw ectoplasm, which was like this floating goo that they couldn't really name what it was, and that became Slimer. And when he was talking about Slimer, he said that the whole movie, when he started writing it, he was writing it for him and his best friend, John Belushi.
Oh.
And then in the middle of writing it, he got a call that was like, we just found him dead. And he was like, I love him like a brother.
Yeah.
And he said, but he lives on in the movie because he says that Slimer's body was based on John's body. Just so funny and mean.
Not his spirit, but just the body. Just his physical form. Yeah, I like that. Thanks. He's like, so well, much, Dan.
And Slimer. Like, it's so mean. So the director, Ivan Reitman, talks about how John Belushi was a big star. When he wasn't going to be in it, they needed kind of a star to anchor it to. That wasn't, Dan wasn't that caliber of a star, but they really wanted Bill Murray. And they said they didn't know if he was on board till the day before they started shooting.
Isn't that common? Because they call,
yeah. Yes. And you know what they call him?
What?
The Murricane. The Murricane, like, because they said he's so crazy that they said that they have to treat it like they're a process server when they give him scripts, and they have to look him in the eye and say to him, you did receive this, which I really like.
He's also, he's, I so think, like, unreliable. He's really unreliable and notoriously, like, he doesn't have a phone. So, like, you have, like, finding him to be put in movies is, like, a noted challenge.
Literally finding him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Harold Ramis, who, I didn't know this, you know, the guy that plays Venkman, he was the director of Caddyshack and National Lampoon's Vacation. I didn't know that. And he co-wrote it.
Harold Ramis is a huge, he died not that long ago. And he, but he's like comedy legend.
So smart, huh?
Comedy legend.
Yeah, that's so cool. So when Ivan goes into Frank Price, who's like the chair of Columbia, they're like, what do you need to make this movie? He just throws out a number because he thinks to himself, what did Stripes cost? And then he's like, I'll just triple it. And he's like, $25 million. So they're like, okay. But he didn't actually do like a budget, a line budget. He was just like, threw a number in the air. And they're like, sure, you need to release it in 1984. That's in a year. You have like just over a year to write it and shoot it and edit it. And it has to be ready.
That's insane.
And the special effects are unheard of, and they don't know anything. And these special effects are things nobody's ever tried to do. And they do something so crazy, which is they're like, we'll just build our own special effects house to do them. They got really, really lucky because Richard Edlund, who had done Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Poltergeist, he's like, I actually want to build my own shop too. So like, I'll be a part of this. And then they're like, we have to cast Louis Tully. Famously played by, do you remember who?
No.
Rick Moranis.
Oh, of course.
And he's so iconic in this role. But what's so interesting is they write it and they're like, we think John Candy will do it. And they send John Candy the script. And he's like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, this is a, what a weird script. I think I could do it, but I'd want to have a German accent and I'd want to hold like two dogs. Like, I always have two dogs flanking me. And they were like, that's not really I don't think you get it. And then they were like, never mind. It's okay. Don't worry about it, John. And then they send it to Rick and he calls back right away and he goes, thank God Candy hates it. This is the greatest script I've ever read. So he loved it and was on board right away. And then Zedmore, played by Ernie Hudson, was like supposed to be us. He was the guy that was going to keep being like, explain that to me. Like, wait, what's going on? Like, he's us, you know? And he was so likable. They cast him. And then I just read about how this was like a moment in time where it was sort of a rallying cry for New York. It was a love letter to New York. Mm. And it's a love letter unlike a Woody Allen Manhattan that we can still all get behind. And it's so sweet. There's even that moment at the end where Winston yells, I love this town. And it's just, they would drive around New York without permits in some cases, just like guerrilla shooting it. And there is one scene where a security guard is chasing after them. And it's a real security guard chasing them out of Rockefeller Center. Like, so wild. And then when they are in the middle of making it, they realize there's this 1970s kids show named Ghostbusters. And they're like, shit, is this going to be an issue? So you know the iconic sign that hangs out of the fire department that says Ghostbusters? They made more of those that said things like Ghost Breakers. And Ghost Stoppers. But then, so they're like, whatever, we'll figure it out later. But then they shoot a scene where there's all these extras in Central Park and they're yelling, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters. And they're like, we're really fucked at this point if we can't get the name. So they're like, we got to get it. And they did get it.
Oh, thank God.
Thank goodness. You would know if they didn't. I don't know how big a cliffhanger that one was. But when they screen it at the industry screening, nobody laughed at it. Like, there was no reaction. It was, like, silent. So they're like, oh, shit.
We fucked
up. But then when it opens, it breaks Columbia's best opening weekend and best opening week records. And basically, it does this cool thing where it takes – it was one of these movies where they took people on TV, notably, like, SNL and Dan Aykroyd or something – and we're like, you can be in movies. It was totally separate in this way before where you'd pitch something and somebody would be like, that's a TV actor, not a movie actor. And it broke that wall, which
that's
is cool.
That's cool. But I think like that, give it up for comedy, man. Comedy fucking paves the way for that shit.
Yeah. And just another little like funny quote that is along the lines of true crime, which if you didn't know, if you're just tuning in, or if you're Mr. Painter and you fell on your headphones and I'm suddenly in your ear. When they were talking to Rick Moranis about what do you think would happen to your character when there's another installment, he said, he's in prison. He's a cellmate of Bernie Madoff's. They compete to see who can make their bed first in the morning. Which is a really amazing visual. And I don't think that's what does happen in the third. They had this whole thing where they like wanted to make another movie and they didn't for so long because they couldn't get probably Bill Murray. Probably the Murricane was like off the radar. They were like looking for him. But I did want to tell you all this to say, I don't think the next movie, what is it called? It's called Ghostbusters Afterlife, not the female one. After that, they did called Ghostbusters Afterlife. Have you seen it?
No.
Me neither, but I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, so I am really excited to tell you this story. I got it from one source and one source only, but the source I got it from got from other sources. Anyway, all that's to be said is I'm finally doing it. I'm doing the 7M TikTok dancer cult.
Finally, the moment we've
finally,
all been waiting
it's happened to
it
me.
It has happened
right in
to
front
me.
Of a face. Okay, so the reason I'm doing this is because there was a documentary that came out, and it's called Dancing for the Devil, the 7M TikTok Cult. And it came out just recently, and I watched all three installments yesterday, and I took feverish, copious notes. And here's the deal. Spoiler alert. no justice has been served. But let's go and sort of dive into what's at play here, what's at stake, and kind of we can get a little bit of like context of what's going on. Because obviously, I've mentioned it on this podcast. I've been obsessed with this for so long because during the pandemic, these dance videos would pop up on my For You page, and they're really incredible dancers, and they're to fun music, and they're usually mm-hmm. in, like, beautiful backgrounds with beautiful clothes, and it would just keep fucking popping up to me. And then all of a sudden, like, this other video came up where they're like, wait, she's not talking to her family. She's anyway, so let's give some context. It's February 2022, and this young woman, Melanie Wilkings, along with her parents, post a video on Instagram talking about how they are worried about their sister, their daughter, Miranda Derrick. She's known as I Am Miranda Derrick. And if you get served any dance videos, you've probably seen her.
She's like, known as I Am Miranda Derrick?
Yes. Okay, she's known as Miranda Derrick. Anyway,
that's how she's known?
Well, she's known as like a dancer. That's her handle. Whatever. She's got like a little bob haircut. Okay, and okay. She does like really cute dances.
Got it.
And this video is her parents and her sister crying, being like, she's cut us off. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. So that's where I joined in. But let's go back in time. The backstory and what's so crazy is at the time that they're making this video on Instagram is they're like, we haven't talked to her in over a year. And what's crazy about it is that is not normal for this family. The family makeup is mom, dad, two sisters. Okay. And the two sisters have dreamed their whole life of being dancers. They're just like, they've made videos together forever. They're like clearly very talented dancers. And they actually had a YouTube channel called the Wilking Sisters. They're known in their own right within like the dance community. The dream for Miranda before Melanie joined her was she was going to move to LA to pursue her dreams of being a dancer. She auditions for So You Think You Can Dance. And even in that show, I don't know if anybody watched So You Think You Can Dance. Even in the show, her family is on, like cheering her on in the background. So like you see context of like how close-knit they were. They're based in Michigan. So she moves to LA and she's pursuing her career in dance. And it's a hard fucking career, right? Because like you're trying to get gigs, you're trying to get noticed, and it's really fucking tough. Melanie, her sister, follows her out there. So the two of them, they're living together. That's when they start this YouTube channel, the Wilking Sisters. They get a bunch of followers. They meet a bunch of people. They start collaborating, like the Instagram, YouTube sort of like pipeline of, like, oh, meet other influencers, dancers, and start collaborating. So it's at this point that they meet this guy, James B. Derrick. This is in 2019. He messages the sisters. They start collaborating, and B. Dash is a crumper. He's very good at what he does. And it's very soon that there's like
a crumper.
Do you not know what crumping is?
No, what the fuck is a crumper?
It's like a kind of like hip hop dance move. I can't even describe it. It's like it's some like intense body movement.
I've heard of a crimper. I've heard of a crumpet.
I love both of those things.
I've never tried to crimp a crumpet.
No, but if you crump, it's great. Like if you see someone who's very good at crumping, you're like, damn, I cannot do that. And you're really gifted. So anyway, so he, B-Dash is like a pretty well-known Instagram dancer in his own right. It's very clear that Miranda and B-Dash hit it off. And the two of them, like sparks fly and they start dating. And it's at this point, you know, when you're dating someone and they're like introducing you to their lives or like they're introducing you to their, I don't know, their interests. And so like you kind of join in. Well, James' interest at this point is God. He's working with this guy, Isaiah Shin, who's a videographer. And the two of them start collaborating on videos together. And so James B-Dash introduces his friends, his girlfriend to Isaiah and all these dancers that he knows. He's inviting them to collaborate to get this videographer to work with them, to make videos. And what's interesting about Isaiah, the videographer, is his dad is this guy, Robert Shin. Now, Robert Shin is a pastor for the church, the Shekinah Church, which is based in LA. And so B-Dash starts going to this church. He makes friends with Robert Shin, the pastor. And it's very soon that like these dancers are like, you know what? I have all the millions of followers on my TikTok or Instagram, but like, I can't sort of level up to the next deal, to like the brand deals and all that stuff. And so this pastor is like, you know what? I actually have a great idea. I'm going to start a management company and I'm going to represent you, and I'm going to help you get all these brand deals. And it's not necessarily immediately like you must be a member of this church to be a member of 7M Entertainment, which is this management company.
Mm-hmm.
But B-Dash is a member of this church. His girlfriend is starting to go to this church more. His friends are starting to go to this church. And if you think about it, some of these people have some religious ties or religious upbringings that they moved to LA. They're struggling. They're trying to find work. They're poor. They're trying to make it big. And so they meet a videographer who takes really cool videos and then introduces them to the church, and then they get a management deal from it. You can see how this is the snowball effect, right? It's starting to get more and more controlling in their lives, or it's starting to take up more and more space in their lives, I guess I should say, at this point. What's amazing about this documentary is not only does it follow the Wilkings family, because they're the whistleblowers of this on Instagram, but it also follows some other dancers who joined, namely Aubrey Fisher, this woman Kylie, Kaylee Gray, and then Kevin Concrete Davis. So
these names, Kevin Concrete,
his I think his dancer persona is Concrete, but his name is Kevin.
Like, how do they have such wacky names?
Yeah, I think like part of it, he's a crumper, you know what I mean? He's a crumper. Miranda is there with her sister, and what's I think interesting about this is that you have all these other people who are either in relationships who start to join the church together, but then you have Melanie, who's invited by her sister to go to this church. And what's noteworthy about this church, this place of worship, is you must be invited. It is not an open congregation. It is invite only, okay? So you have Melanie showing up at these, I don't know, dinners that turn into prayer services. And she's like, yeah, I was there and people started speaking in tongues around me. I think like if you're in love with someone and they're doing this stuff, I think you can be like really blinded to a lot of this stuff. I think when it's a sibling, you're like, wait, what the actual fuck is going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slow, slow build to a very controlling environment. Again, anytime there's a pastor who is rich out of their fucking mind, it calls into major question for me. What's the deal? What is the end game for this person? And Robert is no exception. Robert is fucking rich. And it's interesting, his wife is apparently James' talent manager, or B-Dash's talent manager. His kids are all involved in the church. And when Miranda's parents catch wind that they're going to these dinners at the church, or she's going to this church more and more often, they were raised, or they grew up Catholic, like Midwest Catholic, like me, like not incredibly religious, I think more culturally than anything else. I mean, they would consider themselves to be godly people, but like they're not active in their church, it appears. And so when their daughter's like, yeah, I'm going to church, you know, just be careful. Like something, this just feels a little bit weird, right? Robert not only is like preaching the word of God, but he's also promising that he can make them rich. And because of his management company, there is some proof to it, right? He's getting them more brand deals. They're getting more interest. They're getting more money. And he's getting a little bit more control of their TikToks or their Instagrams. He's like telling them what music they should dance to, what songs they should, how they should dress, and they're getting more views. Mm. So again, it's a really hard thing. The more control he has, the more success they have. It's this hard lesson. He's right in some of those ways. However, the pay structure of this is really fucked, right? So 7M is a management company, so they charge a 20% management fee. On top of that, they demand a 10% tithe, a 10% man of God payment, which essentially is to Robert. That's what he calls himself. He's a man of God. And then a 10% offering. So at this point, they're like 50% of their earnings.
So they take 30%.
50. Yeah.
50. Okay.
So it's 20% management, 10 tithe, 10 man of God, 10 offering.
Got it.
Then he's like, you can
live. You get 50, they get 50.
Then he's like, you can live in one of my properties, but you'll pay me rent. So they're now paying him rent. He's also going, if I get a photographer, a videographer, there's a fee for that. So he's like nickel and diming them on everything.
Mm-hmm.
While this is happening, while Miranda is getting more and more exposure on social media, her family is hearing from her less and less and less and less. And it's very strange, mm-hmm. and they're not used to it, and they're not used to how they're not hearing from her because they're pretty tight-knit family. Her sister's like, she's gone all day. I don't know where she is. Sadly, their grandfather dies. Melanie and Miranda are in L.A., and so obviously they're going to come home to Michigan for their grandfather's funeral. 30 minutes before they're mm-hmm. scheduled to leave for the airport, Miranda tells everyone, hey, I have COVID. I can't make it. And they go, what do you mean? Like, you have to come. This is your grandfather's funeral. You need to be there for your grandmother. Like, you need to be there. And it just felt weird to them. And then they realized, mm-hmm. they're like, wait a minute. This isn't about COVID, is it? And she started crying. And she's like, I just can't go. I just can't go. I just can't go. They don't hear from her then for a couple of days. And they get really freaked out. So they send the police to her house. The police come and they're like, she was totally fine. She was with a friend. It was all good. Nothing's wrong with her. So then her family flies out to LA to be like, what's going on? Something's up. She moves out of the apartment with her sister and she cuts them off completely. She stops answering the phone. And at that point, they realize that they've lost her. And it's in the documentary that it's revealed that part of Robert Shin's teaching is you have to die to yourself, which is this thing where if you care about your family, you have to die to them so that you can eventually save them. It's just brainwashing, right? It's going to make no logical sense to us, but essentially what it is you have to cut off your loved ones, because when you are saved, when you go to heaven, then they'll go to heaven too.
Dumb.
Yeah. They find out on social media that her and B-Dash get married. They have no idea when she gets married. They're not invited to her wedding. And at that point, the Wilkings are like, what the fuck is going on? So they start looking at these videos. They start reaching out to other families, sharing their experience and asking if they have a similar experience. And wouldn't you know it? They do. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's really devastating because we know in cults, you know, we've covered a lot of cults. These are adults who are joining in this moment. And as a parent who's worried about your kid, who is a grown-up, who is an adult, there's nothing mm-hmm. you can do. They call the police and they're like, I'm sorry, they're not children. There's nothing we can do. And we know from survivors of other cults that if there is a police presence or they feel threatened, the control is going to increase. It's dangerous for those in the cult. So February 2022, yep. I mentioned, that's when the Instagram video comes out of the family asking for help, asking to be in touch with Miranda. And the video, of course, makes its way into the church. At that point, Robert starts freaking out. In addition to that, more people see what's going on. And so they start going, no, 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 I recognize that guy. I actually was a member of the Shekinah church, and it was really fucking bad news. Even before he was doing this management company for the TikTok dancers, he tried his hand as like an executive producer of film and music and failed miserably. But he's always been just about money. And he's always had a high control to his congregation. And there are survivors that have left that have come out and been like, he also is guilty of sexual assault. He's abused women. It's just all bad mm-hmm. news. But again, none of this stuff is going to stick on him because there is not enough evidence. And there's no way they can get him for any crime. It's at this point that the video of the family gets back to the church. And that's when the fucking walls come up and the defenses come up. And so some of the dancers talk about getting called in to sign NDAs. They got more strict. And at that point, it's like some of the dancers were like, this is feeling weird. I don't feel comfortable with this. And mm-hmm. the Wilkings mm-hmm. are raising the alarm. And so Robert makes B-Dash and Miranda make accusations that her family was not supportive of her dating a black man or marrying a black man, which is not true. And then, because the family wouldn't let up, he told Miranda to go to Michigan and put it all on live. And while she was there, she put her family on live and she was like, you need to take the video down of you accusing me of being in a cult. And they're like, I'm not doing that. And then she leaves. Mm-hmm. They're so desperate to see their daughter that they will do so at any cost. They reach out to her and say, hey, there's something I really need to talk to. I have really big news for you, just so that she can get in the same room as them. And Robert, mm-hmm. he's letting Miranda go and see her family because he knows that they're going to make a lot of noise. And if there's video or footage of her with her family, people will not say it's a cult. It's at this point that they're desperately trying to see their daughter, but unfortunately, them seeing their daughter is only benefiting Robert, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because the family knows they cannot bring up or ask her if she's in a cult or tell her about all this stuff going on with Robert or the information that they find out because she will leave. And they're so desperate to have any relationship with her that he's actually benefiting because when she posts pictures of her with her family, people believe that it's not a cult, that she's okay.
Okay.
When we actually know it is a fucking cult because, again, there are survivors that have come forward. Part of the system of the church is that he has mentors. And these mentors, everybody has to go through them for permission to do anything. He considers himself a man of God. Like, he has a direct line to the G.O.D. And he needs to fulfill you know, I mean, who doesn't love a direct line? He also has a position for woman of God,
which his wife. What the hold music is like, though?
I would say angelic. I would say angelic. And so he fosters this environment where you want to get as close to the man of God as possible, which is him. And so he does this thing where he invites women to give him massages, where he will be naked and he will eventually coerce them into sexual actions or into sexual activity. He would coerce many women. And one day he's in church, all of a sudden he's preaching and like 10 women come in and start being like, "You sexually assaulted me," and all yelled at him. And for a minute, it's like some people left, but the majority of the people stay. Again, he finds people who are maybe seeking answers. He also preyed on a lot of people who didn't have community, and that's how he got a lot of people in. He also has insane financial control. Like I mentioned, he takes 50% off the top of these big brand deals, but he also developed a bunch of businesses. It's very Scientology. We follow these two sisters who were in the cult from the 90s. We follow Melanie and Priscilla. And Melanie is in the cult and she plans her escape. Robert wants to be her mistress and she's like, "How many days do I have to decide?" What are you laughing at?
But you said Robert wants to be her mistress. And I was like, he's like, "May I be your mistress?"
I just pictured that. The man of God wants to be her mistress. This is cute. This is hot. This is smut now. I'm reading smut.
Yeah, I like it.
So these two sisters, Melanie and Priscilla, they had a pretty hard upbringing. Their mom was an alcoholic. Their dad was not present. So again, they're like the perfect target for a leader who tells them that he alone can fix it. Eventually, the sisters get separated. Which, again, something a cult wants to do is they want you to be as alone as possible to take advantage of you. So first, Miranda is targeted by Robert, and he wants her to be his mistress. And at that point, she had already been planning her escape. And so when he asked her to be his mistress, she was like, "How long do I have to decide?" He said, "You have 3 days." She was like, "Shit, I was going to leave in 10 days. So I got to really move up this plan." So she goes, she makes a run from it. A friend picks her up. She gets out of there. And her goal is to go get her sister. Whether she leaves kicking or screaming, she doesn't give a shit. She's like, "I'm going to go pick up my sister and take her with me." However, as she's leaving the house, someone sees her. They know she's about to leave. They call her sister, tell her what's up, and she doesn't have a chance to get her sister. And her sister is in the cult for 11 more years. And the same shit that was happening to Melanie, this young woman, is going to happen to her sister Priscilla. And there's nothing she can do about it. Again, because they're adults. You can't take someone out when they're there under their own, quote-unquote, free will.
Terrible. Terrible.
Finally, Priscilla does leave 11 years later, but in the documentary, it's really moving because you see one sister who's been out, who's been able to start her life on the outside, and you have one sister who is stunted and is just trying to deprogram.
It gives you such a mirror image of what that person
exactly
is really missing.
And it's interesting. It follows these two sisters, and it also follows these other two sisters, Melanie and Miranda, you know, and you see these like two sort of like what could have been and what is happening. And, you know, you see them back to back and it's really heartbreaking. So, like I said, it's 2022 and all of these stories are just coming out and people are revealing these stories. People are telling them. People are making a lot of noise. So half of the TikTok dancers leave, but half of them stay, including B-Dash and Miranda. In fact, they are still members of the Shekinah Church. The Wilkings family is seeing her on her terms because they just want to see their daughter, and they know that they are going to be on her Instagram or TikTok videos because it helps Robert's message, but at the same time, they just want to be around their loved one, their daughter, their sister. The Wilkings, meanwhile, are speaking to other families, and they're trying to get charges against him. Ideally, you want to get anything that's going to put this guy in jail, so they're just like trying to build a case. They have a couple of women come forward to the police to tell them about sexual assault experiences, but unfortunately, it's not enough. They can't just go and arrest him. In addition, Priscilla and Melanie, the two sisters who were there for a long time, are trying to find financial misconduct. You know what's happening there? And so they started to build a case to try to sue him. Robert gets wind of this and he countersues them or sues them first, but they ended up serving him papers. So they are suing him for financial misconduct. At this point, none of it has stuck. And it's, as of now, he has not been arrested. And the financial case is going to take a very, very long time to come to a head, to be resolved. And they're, the Wilkings family are hoping for their daughter that once he goes to jail or once some of these charges stick, that they will maybe like snap out of it, that they won't, that they'll possibly see the emperor with no clothes on. And it's, I think what's fascinating about it too is it does remind me a little
bit. Too much to hope, I think.
I think it's, but they have to hope. Otherwise, they've lost their daughter forever, you know? And it's interesting because her sister is like, I don't like that I'm helping Robert. Even though I'm seeing my sister, it's like we're helping this guy act like nothing is wrong. And we're benefiting him by seeing her because people on social media think everything's fine and it's not. So I think this documentary was like a very big step in being like, here's what's going on. Here's a little bit more context into the TikTok cult. You and I haven't talked about this, but how about Trump getting convicted of 34 counts? Really exciting stuff. I want to know how it was to be in New York during that.
Yeah, I got to say, like, fine. Like, everyone's like, yay.
But it feels like nothing.
I think it's like, yeah, I got to tell you, like, it hasn't, we've seen a lot of him getting caught red-handed for doing things. Doesn't seem like it makes a difference. So it just feels like this is like it's another thing and you're like,
he's Teflon.
What in actuality is going to happen based on this? I'm not dumb enough anymore to get excited by it.
Right. I'm just excited because it feels like the biggest one yet. But that being said, hearing about this case and this guy Robert Shin, hearing his coercive control, his abusive control, and how he maintains control of his congregants, it reminds me of Donald Trump in some ways, where they're just trying to find something to throw at him to possibly wake people up to the monster that he is. And I think with Donald Trump, it's the same. It's like many of us know he's a monster, right? We know he's a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's in it for himself. He's in it to enrich himself. Similarly to Robert Shin, he's in it for himself. He's not a man of God. He only wants to line his pocketbook. He's taking money from people. He's a grifter. But that stuff can't be adjudicated. You know what I mean? Like, you can't take someone to court for just being a shitty, shitty person. You have to find these like little loopholes to get him in any fucking way you can, in the hopes that it'll wake people up to say, hey, like, this guy, what fuck? He is wearing no clothes. Especially the people that are under their spells. But it just reminds, but it just, the similarities
I just,
of
I
that
gotta,
folk.
You know, I just don't count my chickens before they're hatched anymore.
You can't.
And I just feel like I will be really excited when on national news they're showing him on the side of a highway cleaning up trash because that's what he was sentenced to do or something. I'll be thrilled. I would love to see it, but I'm not going to get excited till I'm watching it.
I think for her family, they have to have hope and they're just trying to build a case against this man. And they're worried, like,
sure,
their daughter said nothing bad about this man, right? He's made her money and what they're worried about is work trafficking, right? They're worried that their daughter is being forced to work and pay all of her money to this man and seeing nothing in return for the way she's enriching this man. No protections, nothing for her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're worried that the control he has on her and how he is cutting her off from people who love her and who care about her, which, as we know, is like cult 101. They get you and they want to have total control over you and cut you off from people who love you. And it's really fucking scary. Yeah. And I think, like, I don't know, every time I cover cults, I'm so fascinated by them because I also know that if you're in a certain place in your life, it could totally happen.
Because you really want to start one, right?
Well, that's what I'm hoping Truly Darkly Creepily is kind of like a cult.
Just
vibe.
Like feels like you'll end up on either side of it eventually. So you should get in control right now, get in the driver's seat and decide which side you're going to be on. The side or losing.
I've been in an improv school, so I think I know which side I'd be on.
You lost already. Like, yeah, you're the loser. Sorry.
Yeah, so I know where I stand, and that's why I'm like,
so sorry to say.
I'm so sorry to say, but anyway, it's a great documentary. I think the frustrating part of it, from me to you, is it didn't totally give a ton of new information. I think the thing that was interesting the most was finding out some of his past wrongdoings to his congregation and understanding that he's just been trying to be a rich man for a long time. And unfortunately, I think the pandemic hit at the right time and these like dancer videos got huge and big, and that's that. He got a lot of money.
Well, I hope he goes to jail one day. Sorry.
Beware of false prophets, man. Like, no one can fix your whole life. I don't know.
But also beware of all prophets.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sorry.
Because, like, there aren't any. So just everybody relax. There's no prophets. Good night. if you saw a prophet, it's Halloween, okay? Should I be a prophet for Halloween?
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to tell you about.
All right, guys. We have a really important Patreon to record with lots of scantily clad information that's going to be coming at people that are part of our cult that gives us money. And as cult leaders, it is our responsibility.
That makes seven at most, $7 a month. We are the worst cult.
We're not doing great. We're not great cult leaders, but we are cult leaders. And that's what's important to remember. We are the false prophets you're looking for.
Oh my
True
God.
Crime Granny, in fact, said, love these girls and their storytelling. Can't wait to hit play the minute I see a new episode arrive. True Crime Granny, that is an amazing name, True Crime Granny. Thank you for leaving that review. And Jackie says, absolutely love your personalities. And I'm like, Jackie, I absolutely love your personality,
Jackie,
because the personality that I'm looking for is someone to get on Apple and write that about me.
Somebody reached out to us and wrote, oh my God, I love your podcast. Quinlan, you're my favorite. And I gotta tell you, same.
Same. And me too. It's unanimous, in fact. JK, JK.
Or not JK.
It depends on the day. I favor either one of us, depending on how.
So hard. I got that and I was like, oh, I can ignore that. Okay, goodbye.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.